Live life at your pace. Click the banner or go to visitwilliamsburg.com to discover how. Because here in Williamsburg, life moves at one pace, yours. Visit a live archaeological dig site on the very grounds where America began. Or walk the fields where our country was won. Live like a colonial by day or track 18th century ghosts by night. For all the history to be found here, there's plenty more to make for yourself. It's all waiting for you in Williamsburg. Book your trip today and live life at your pace.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, it's Jim Norton. We have a great episode of Unfiltered. Matt is away, but we have Jamie Josta, who's a huge UFC fan and a really fun guy sitting in. We have Dustin Poirier and Matt Brown on the phone. Lots of fun.
Jaws are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh! On the button!
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again!
He's out!
This is UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Yeah, well, let's stop with that whole thing. Matt's away. As you know, he's away for a few days, and we're going to have guest hosts in. And today we have a good friend of mine, a guy who is a big UFC fan, which is always important. I don't like when we have guests that are not UFC fans. Jamie Josta from Hatebreed, who has been on our show before. How are you, Jamie?
Good. Thanks for having me back. Yeah, good to see you. Appreciate it.
I always appreciate it, especially a guy who loves fighting as much as you do.
Well, as a fan of the podcast, you have had some guests that weren't really into UFC that I still thought were great episodes. Like, I listened to that one with the guy from MTV2 who's on the morning hip-hop station.
Oh, yeah, Charlamagne.
Charlamagne. Yeah, I like Charlamagne.
That was a great episode. I enjoyed it. And I thought, once he said, I'm not into UFC, I was going to turn it off. But I kept it on. I stuck with it.
He was honest enough to say that. And they say that, like, UFC, like, hey, we have pop culture guests. So we try to mix it up because you get certain podcasts that are just pure MMA or pure, and but you have the Unfiltered wanted it to be like, yeah, a little bit of a mix of both, just because you don't have the same thing in the market. You want to have, you look at the Fighter and the Kid, they do a little bit of both. They talk fighting, right? And they have whatever. So I'm happy that you're here. Did you watch the fights? I'm sure you did.
Yeah, it was great. I was yelling at the TV and it was incredible. It was probably one of my favorite UFCs in a long time.
What was the biggest shock? There was two. TJ winning, it's always a shock to see an 11-0 Cody Garbrandt go down, but TJ's a great fighter, so it wasn't that big a shock to see two guys equally matched, one win.
Well, that first, I guess it was right at the bell when he knocked TJ down. Yep. I was like, oh man, he got saved by the bell. But then, and he looked wobbly going back.
Yeah, he did get saved, I think. You're right.
And so, I think I might have tweeted that, and some people were like, no, you know, he was still in it, but then he just came back so strong, and to get the finish, I mean, wow, it was just incredible.
Didn't he drop him with a kick too? Didn't he drop Cody with a kick?
Yes.
It was a kick, left kick or something. Yunus knocking out Yan Jacek is one of the biggest things. I mean, I still think Weidman Silva was a bigger surprise to me, but that was a tremendous shock to see her knock her out. Like, if it had been the fourth round and Joanna was getting mounted and finally got choked, all right. But to get knocked out in the first round by Rose, nobody saw that coming.
I don't know. I put money on Rose, and I won.
I wasn't shocked that she necessarily won, because I did pick her to win, but I was shocked that it happened in that fashion.
Yeah?
What were the odds?
She was plus 500, dog.
I don't know what that means.
It means if you put $100, you won 500.
How much you bet?
100.
So you won 500?
Yeah.
That's nice.
It was great. And she's great. I've always loved her. Like, I have to give Danny from Biohazard a quick shout out. He's a big MMA fan and an old friend of mine. And we've been talking about her since she was on Tough. And we've been fans. And she's just amazing. And so I really wanted to see that happen. I think I put out a tweet for my DraftKings picks. I had Joanna in my tweet just in case people who had challenged me on head-to-heads. Like, but I was picking Rose, and sure, she was great value on DraftKings too. It was just, it was a fun night. I mean, it makes it more fun to follow when you're doing that stuff.
She, it's funny. The first time I saw Rose, I was on a bus. I was on the UFC fighter bus at UFC 200, and I see this beautiful blonde girl. I'm like, yeah, she was looking at me. I'm like, oh my God, I might be getting vibes from her. Mm-hmm. And it turns out I was certainly not getting vibes from her at all. She was just looking at me because she was like, who's the fucking little creep sitting with Matt Serra? And then I realized who her boyfriend was. I'm like, oh boy, am I glad I didn't try to flirt with her. That would have been a disaster. She was just being friendly and, you know, she's just a nice person.
Yeah.
Then that's the problem with men. A woman smiles at you and says hello, and you're like, oh, maybe she likes you. Instead of realizing, no, she's a fucking cage fighter. Cage fighters don't look at titted, frumpy men and go, oh, that's the guy.
Well, it's like when you load into a venue and there's a girl runner or a pretty girl working at the venue. You got to understand that they've probably been hit on by every rocker,
exactly,
and roadie and every dude, because they're like, they get to the new town and they see her and
yeah, Robert Plant rubbed his bulge in her face. You have no shot right at talking to this girl, especially yeah, when I have 100 tickets sold and it's an 1,100 seat theater. What am I going to do? Go in there, hey, how are you, baby? You know, Jeff Dunham just did a 9-show run and they all made money, and with me they were going to cancel, but the promoter's polite.
You paper the room.
It's fucking 50 paid tickets. I'm like, well, who the fuck are they fucking with? Like, it's papered. Like, oh shit.
But back to the TJ fight. I think that was the best case scenario business-wise, promotion-wise for the UFC, because now it sets up the Demetrius Johnson
TJ, yep,
super fight, which I really want to see, and I hope that Demetrius gets the props that he deserves, and you know that that's going to be a great fight.
They're both really, really great fighters, and it's a very interesting matchup. They fought before. No?
Nope. No, they were... Dominic
Cruz.
With,
right. Yeah, yeah. Did Cruz beat TJ?
Yeah, razor okay, thin.
Yeah, fight, yeah. And then TJ beat Cruz. Right. You know, it was a... Oh, wait, no. Cruz beat TJ.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
I always said TJ beat Cruz. I was wrong.
Oh, no, I'm
getting...
But
I'm
do,
getting
you wanna, do you want to... Do you want to see...
A TJ Mighty Mouse fight, and then what's going to happen is you have Cody is awaiting the winner of fucking... oh, my God.
Cruz and Jimmy
Cruz
Rivera.
Cruz and Jimmy Rivera.
Winners and losers from every fight on the main card is exciting. I mean, even in, like, if you look at that James Vick, which that was a great win for him.
Yeah.
Like, I'm excited to see who Duffy would fight next. I mean, there's a lot of parity in that division. And with these two, I guess, rumored UK cards, there's so much. That's why I was asking before we started taping you know, Norman Park and Ross Pearson. There's so many great opponents that Duffy could face. There's a lot of guys that Vic can face. Hopefully someone will step up and take that fight.
Well, they're saying now, you know, Dana said Darren Till against Wonder Boy is happening February 24th. Now, apparently Wonder Boy's people have said, we don't know anything about that, but that's a tremendous fight. He's just coming off that huge win, and that's a great fight. Didn't Darren Till call out Mike Perry?
Yeah, he called. Well, yeah, kind of. I mean, because Perry's already lined up with Ponzinibbio, but after his win,
they called him out.
You know, they were arguing.
Perry, Wonderboy would be a fun fight to watch.
Oh, absolutely.
That'd be a really fun fight to watch. Right. I can't root against Wonderboy against anybody.
Yeah. Well, Wonderboy's team is saying, like, they want to move forward in the division. You know what I mean? In terms of the rankings. Like, and Wonderboy's, you know, whatever, 2 or 3 at this point. So it's hard for him to
What can they do? Is Darren Till ranked at this point or no?
Yeah, I think he's number 8.
Yeah, what's the advantage for Wonderboy to do that when he probably wants another shot at the title? I mean, you know, and he just comes off a fucking really a very dominating win over of Masvidal. Like, why would he want to go backwards just to help boost Darren Till?
Right, like, that was such a great fight, and Masvidal's so tough. It's like, yeah, you kind of want to see him figure out the riddle that is Woodley at this point. But yeah, so who is... But besides him, who's next in line for Woodley?
The winner of, I think, of Lawler and RDA.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's who's next in line for. And then maybe Wonderboy gets the winner of that. I like Tyron Woodley. Like, I'm not rooting against him. But it would be interesting for me to see, I mean, like, a fucking RDA against Thompson would be really interesting.
Right.
And so would Lawler against fucking Wonderboy. I'd love to see that, too.
Ooh, that would be fireworks too. Yeah,
there's so many good fucking possibilities in that stack.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, and you got Condit's fighting Magny, so you know either one of those guys could jump.
Where are
up
those guys ranked though?
Condit's currently 7. These have the update. The rankings
not that
haven't
it means
been updated
everything.
Yet.
And
but
what is Magny 6?
Condit's 7 and Magny's 11.
Okay, I was off by 5.
All right, because Magny lost against. When was that? He lost it
in the last couple of months.
Yeah, he did lose. Didn't he lose quickly too? Oh, he lost to RDA.
Yeah, RDA.
Yeah. Like, yeah, he beat him.
Yeah.
And then before that, is he on a two fight skid? Was before that he fought Damian? Or was that a while ago? I can't remember.
I think it was Hendricks before that, if I'm not mistaken. Let me see.
Hendricks, I'm just so glad he didn't get like grievously injured in that fight. I was seriously worried after watching the weigh-ins. That guy, I mean, that kid is just a monster. Oh, and I got to give it to Johnny. I mean, he was game.
He's
was
a fucking animal. But you can't take that guy down.
Oh, my God. That guy was just...
Hendricks is in kind of that no man's land, I feel like, right now, where he probably physically can't make 170 anymore, and he's a little small for middleweight.
You can't what are you going to do? Put him up against Romero?
Those guys are just... He's tough
they're
as nails,
too
but
big.
They're too big, right.
What do you think now? What does GSP do? Does he stay at 185 and deal with Whittaker?
I don't think he should. What does he get out of it?
I mean,
is Whittaker a big name, like a big enough name?
Well, what I thought, this is my, you know, me, Mr. Strategist, who can't keep a fucking relationship going. I think, do they do Whittaker in Australia?
Oh, right. There he's a draw.
GSP,
yeah.
Whittaker, because he'll already do great in Canada. He'll do great in the United States because it's GSP. So Whittaker, to make him bigger, and also that will be huge in Australia and maybe over there. So
right. Maybe
you do something like that, or New Zealand or something like that, where Robert Whittaker is probably a bigger name than he is here. But again, that's not a big advantage for GSP. Or does he drop down to welterweight, which is fucking easier, and then just get a fairly fast title shot at whoever? Maybe he gets, you know what? No, they wouldn't want him against Woodley because Dana doesn't want to give Woodley that fight. So maybe they wait for the winner of RDA Lawler fights Woodley, and then the winner of that gets GSP, but then GSP is sitting for too long.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's tough for both divisions because, you know, as great as GSP is, he's been out for however many years. And there's, like we said, there's just kind of a logjam with all these guys.
Then again, maybe what he does, though, is because Whittaker, and no offense to Whittaker, I love him, but he's not a marquee name like George St. Pierre is. Maybe they keep GSP there or hope that he wants to stay there because, hey, man, if he can stay champion for a couple of fights, that's a huge name as a middleweight. That we don't have right now.
Is he too big now also to make that cut to welterweight? I mean, he said he put on a lot of muscle.
He looked a little tired by round two, though. By round two, he looked a little bit tired. His stand-up was better than anyone thought it would be. And, you know, maybe he knew that Bisping is really hard to hold down. And Bisping was fucking kicking the shit out of him from the bottom. Like, who saw that coming, too? Like, Bisping's on his back and fucking slicing him open. So maybe, I don't know, does he want to deal with these big middleweights? Or maybe he doesn't want to deal with Woodley on the ground. I'm babbling. I'm, like, coughing up. I apologize.
But what about, like, a tune-up fight at welterweight? Like, if he did go to welterweight, what one of these guys who's kind of a big name mm-hmm. but isn't maybe in the top 10? I mean, there are a lot of guys that I would like to see him fight at.
Belt fights only, I think. I don't think he does anything unless it's for a belt. Like, why would he? He's 36, and if he loses once, it could be a BJ. Even though he just won the belt, so he's got at least a couple fights. But look what happened to BJ.
Right.
You know what I mean? He comes in, he looks terrible, then he fights Dennis Seaver, doesn't look great. Like, I don't think that's the problem GSP has. No matter what happens in his second fight, he will get a third because he won the belt.
Right.
But who do you tune him up with? I think he's a too big a name.
Well, the thing that everybody is, you know, talking about...
Tune him up with Nick Diaz.
I was just going to say Nick Diaz. The other thing everybody
says... Not
that
would be a tune-up fight. Right. I don't want Nick to hear this. And
No, right.
I mean, it would be a big money fight. And
yeah. People
would, especially old school fans, hardcore fans, would go nuts. But who is like the new star for like the people that don't know GSP? I mean, who is the new welterweight star? I guess Colby Covington. He's making a lot of
noise.
You got to put him against...
Mike Perry?
Yeah, I mean, that would be...
Again, Darren Till, Wonder Boy. I mean, you know.
Right. But well, the other, everybody's saying when, you know, put Connor and GSP together at 170.
But Connor has said, didn't he say before Diaz again he wanted to do it at 155?
Yeah.
He wants to stay at lightweight. I don't think Connor wants to do it at 170 again.
Yeah.
Even though he wound up winning there and going five rounds, which, you know, I never loved Connor, but that was so impressive to see that guy go fucking five rounds at that weight with that animal
who
did have a full camp by that point. You know, this was not him coming off the bench. This was Diaz with a full camp,
right?
And Connor's doing so. I was very impressed.
They're gonna do part three, right? It's got
to
be.
I don't want them to. I want to see him fight Ferguson. I want to see him fight Khabib. I want to see him. I'd rather see fucking Edson Barbosa against Connor than I would.
Right.
I don't care about a third fight with them.
But for the business, I mean, St. Patrick's Day. What are you hearing? Because I'm hearing rumors.
I mean, we hear rumors too. But I think the fight has to be Connor versus Tony next.
That has to be
to me,
for the integrity of the division and of MMA. You have to. Tony, it's like you gotta solidify that. I mean, Ferguson's an animal, and he's getting a big enough name now where people want to see him fight. You know, they want to see him and Khabib fight. That didn't happen. I think Khabib against Edson Barboza is a fight that I can't wait to see.
Yeah, for sure.
When is that?
No, now I don't know. Is that in December?
Is that in Russia? Isn't he December 30th? Star in Russia?
Yes, he is. Is that December 3rd? But they had speculated Conor against him in Russia, but Khabib doesn't get Conor at first because they're afraid he won't make the weight. And that's a scary thing. You have to have a guy who can make the weight if you're going to put Conor's name on a fight.
Jim, I got to get on your level here because I'm only one coffee in.
I apologize, dude. And I'm yapping.
No, you're great.
I'm yapping.
I need to power. I need to fuel up right here. But I think if they do it in Ireland, St. Patrick's Day, doesn't matter who the opponent is.
Problem is the time in Ireland. That's the only issue they've had is the time. Is it 6 hours ahead in Ireland, I think? So for them to do it, 11, 12, for a 10 o'clock car, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, starts at 4 a.m. That's why it's hard to do.
Right,
they do it in England, though.
Croke Park.
What's that?
We can't get Croke Park. My father lives in Ireland. It's funny because they just like.
There is a reason they don't do it.
Yeah, it's probably because
curfews and shit like that.
Yeah, or the union. I mean, I remember when we would play at Roseland. If you go like 5 minutes over, you're paying like some crazy union over whatever.
That's
overtime.
Why people hated Guns. Like, the band was so mad at Axl. They start the show at midnight. They would all walk out with $1.75 if they were a fucking 3 hour show. He's out of his mind.
But with Ferguson. I mean, that would be a great fight. I would love to see that. I just think for the business of it, they want him. The most interest is to see.
The problem is that Nate hasn't fought since then. You know what I mean? That's kind of what's frustrating about it because he's, you know, fifth or sixth in the division, but he hasn't fought anybody since Connor.
Respect to Nate. He's great. He's fun to watch. He's a fucking tough dude. He's
MSG,
an animal.
You could do it again if they don't do it in Ireland.
Ferguson, though. I want to see Ferguson. I want to see Ferguson and Conor. And I think every MMA fan really wants to see that. And you got to do some of the big specialty fights, but you got to do some that are legitimately are solidifying and you know, kind of the title.
Unifying the belts.
Oh, yes. But you got to do that. I mean, let's be honest. This is a sport where people are ranked and they earn their spot. And I don't just want to see big name fights to get some fucking guy who's not necessarily a fan. I get that that's the business model, but there's also an integrity in the sport. And I want to see Tony Ferguson, who's earned his spot, get a shot at Conor, who has earned his title.
Right.
You know, and he chose to keep this one and he vacated the featherweight. So fine. Now let's see what's going to happen.
Conor GSP, though, that is really interesting. Now that you say that, because anywhere that goes is huge.
Right.
And then you got the whole Canada versus Ireland thing.
But GSP would have to drop. He's not dropping 30 pounds. So you have to drop down to welterweight, and Conor would have to go up to welterweight. And I don't think Conor wants to do a GSP at welterweight.
Yeah.
I don't think he wants to because he understands that GSP is way too experienced
in the wrestling
to get suckered by the hype. Yeah. Like George St. Pierre is way too fucking much of a veteran to be intimidated by rhetoric.
Well, what he did at 217, it's like the guy's been out for so many years. He comes back Bisping screaming at him the entire time. Huge pressure, and it didn't.
He doesn't give
a
fuck. GSP is a Zen guy. So Conor might get on his nerves a little bit, but Conor knows that if George St. Pierre gets his hands anywhere near him, he's finished. He has no shot on
thing,
the ground.
Though the three belt thing, who's done three?
No one.
Yeah.
No one,
but that is, I mean, I know what you're saying, and I agree, but I'm just saying, like, from that standpoint, to be that dude, if he was to, and what about a catchweight fight? Or you can't, if it's a catchweight, then you don't get the belt.
It's gotta be a belt.
But why don't, like, we were talking about Hendricks? Why doesn't more dudes who are kind of in that limbo area, like, why don't they just do catchweight fights and fight guys with big names?
I think there's no interest. I think people are afraid. That's why they have interim belts. That's my guess. I mean, no one's ever told me this, but I think that there's so many different divisions with so many great fighters that they're more concerned that who gives a shit about a catchweight fight when you can have a title fight, or you can have the potential for a title fight. Hey, or you can have an interim belt fight.
Right.
Like, they always want something to be on the line to sell the pay-per-views or to make people interested. That's my guess. But look, Conor GSP, I would be interested in seeing that fight. But Conor on some level has to know that if George St. Pierre gets anywhere near him or they get up against the cage for 3 seconds, he's fucking finished. Because if Chad Mendez gave him a hard time on the ground, it's no disrespect
to
Conor.
On a short camp.
On a short camp, I think on a 3-week camp, he put Conor down and Conor had a hard time. Against GSP, forget it.
Yeah,
he does not want
to. Big,
and he's looking big, dude. Do you want to go up and wait and deal with fucking George St. Pierre? Look, all right, he's older, but he's 36,
right?
And he's had 4 years of not fighting and not getting knocked around.
Well, what's interesting is too. And by the way, we're going to call Dustin Poirier in 1 second.
Yes,
Connor, we don't know what Connor's walking around at now. You know, he fought he fought Alvarez at 155, but
what did he fight Floyd at?
That was 154, but who knows what he walked into the ring at,
right?
You know, so who even knows what weight Connor's floating around right now as.
So they're fighting, Dustin Poirier is fighting Anthony Pettis, the main event at UFC Fight Night, Norfolk, this Saturday, November the 11th at 10 o'clock on FS1. That's a great fight.
Great fight. Can't wait for that. Is he on the phone now?
No, Chris is going to get him.
Before we talk to him about the names and the catchweights, even if it wasn't at a catchweight, wouldn't you want to see like Cerrone versus Hendricks?
You know, I yes.
They're both coming off a loss. I mean, for me as an old school fan, that is more interesting than seeing one of those guys fight another bigger guy like they both just did.
You know, it's funny, man. I don't know if I'd want to see that. I'll tell you why. Even though I get what you're saying and you're not wrong, there is interest in it. I'm much more interested, and again, in watching a guy like Darren Till fight somebody, or watching Ponzinibbio, or watching fucking Mike Perry fight a guy like Cowboy. Like, I always want some kind of where are they going further from here thing. I kind of like to see a little forward motion. It isn't that I don't want to see guys in ranked 14th get a fight, but I kind of like the idea that there is some step either forward or back for either of them. And at a catchweight, there isn't. But I'm not saying you're wrong, and there are certain fights that I'm sure would be interesting at a catchweight. And they've talked to Dana about adding divisions. Hey, if he adds divisions, then there's a belt at stake. You know what I mean? That's the thing that I think will ultimately get Dana and the UFC to add belts, add divisions, is because catchweight fights with no belt implication are not as interesting as a catchweight fight. But hey, here's the new super welterweight champion.
They're only interesting if the guys have a name and if there is some sort of narrative or some sort of competitive, edge there. With the reason why I bring up Cerrone and Hendricks is because they're both coming off a loss. They both fought guys who are bigger, stronger,
yes,
faster
agreed.
Than them. And I like the idea of rebuilding. And they're fan favorites who've been around a long time where you say, okay, well, yeah, they've never fought, right? And we never saw it because they were in different divisions. Now they're in the same division, no? So it wouldn't even need to be a catch weight.
Yeah. I mean,
actually, Hendricks would have to come back down.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. Well, that's what hurt Mighty Mouse and TJ. Hey, what's up, Dustin Poirier? Wait. No
answer yet. We'll get him.
That's what hurt Mighty Mouse. TJ, I think, was he said TJ had never made that weight, and he wanted to go for the thing. He did not want to fight at a cat. He wanted it to be a championship fight. You know what I mean? He didn't want to fight, I guess. I guess that would have happened. It wouldn't have been a championship fight if TJ hadn't made the weight.
Yeah, exactly. It wouldn't have counted towards his title defense.
I think most
also, we're talking about that. I don't think that Demetrius signed the fight. Like, it's not even like happening yet, right?
No,
he has to take the fight.
There's nobody else people give a shit about watching him fight. And that's not to knock Demetrius. Look, I like the guy. He does all his press. He's a very responsible fighter. You got the record. I think he'll take this fight for the money and the big name thing. And what a great
fight. Well, everything
fight.
Lines up right too, because you have Cejudo and Sergio Pettis are fighting December 2nd. So they would need a few months after that fight, you know, to recover. You could put TJ and DJ together, and then
TJ versus DJ. I hate the fact that works out so beautifully. TJ versus DJ. Yeah, that could work out nicely. But maybe that's why they add divisions, or maybe that's why they do it, just to get championship fights at different weights and more belts. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they did that, right?
And yeah, but you're going to have more guys, bigger guys, trying to go down. I think that you would lose guys in the higher weight classes down to these middle divisions, and then
were those guys gonna want to try to make the weight?
That's what Dana said recently. He was talking about it, and he was like, you know, people are concerned about the weight cutting and people get injured doing that, but he's like, but if we add more weight divisions, people are just gonna try to cut more weight. That's it, you know, they're just gonna find a way
true.
To do it. So,
and then you're gonna see like these fights where a Cowboy, who's obviously much smaller, and Hendricks, who's obviously much smaller, you're just gonna see more of that, I would imagine, if they added more weight classes. But
can we talk, by the way, Joe Rogan said this. Sorry, Jamie. I forgot to mention this, being a negligent ass that I am. Yeah. Joe said he heard a rumor, and it's a rumor, so we don't know if it's true, about John Jones's failed drug test. Now, according to Joe, he said he cannot tell who told him this, but he said the stuff that John tested positive for takes a long time to get out of your system, right? You know what else? You find that stuff, and I'm quoting Joe, you find it in creatine. When they get creatine, sometimes from China, it's tainted with steroids. They use that creatine to cut cocaine. Purely speculative, but it could have been, and this is speculation, was John doing cocaine? I don't want to start any John Jones rumors, It's easier for me to palate or stomach the fact that he was stupid enough to do cocaine than the fact that he was steroid cheating.
Right.
And it's like, John, if you did cocaine, if you're still in that world, I don't know. Like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? Like, you're in the prime of your life. What are you doing? But that's a crazy and stupid thing, but I can understand that as a compulsive kook myself. I can understand that easier than him thinking he can get away with drug cheating. I don't see John Jones being stupid enough after coming back from the fucking dick pills thing to go, yeah, I can do steroids and get away with it. Do I believe that he might have done cocaine when he knew he wasn't going to get tested, not realizing it was cut with that? Maybe. He should be sending that cocaine into USADA, by the way. Do you know what I mean?
Well, but that is part of the problem, though.
Did you ever have a problem with cocaine?
I've done enough of it, yeah.
Okay. So you know, and I know someone who's had a really, really bad problem with it, that like day after that feeling of just...
It's a horrible crash.
Yeah. So you're never really away from it. You're always addicted. Like the first time you do it, even though people... Like I have an addictive gene, I can't do it because I'll just go off the rails. But people who can party socially, and maybe John is one of these people...
No, he's not.
No.
No, he didn't have an accident after any of that. They found drugs in his glove compartment. That's not the signs of a social partier.
When I met him, I'm backstage at the Prudential Center, and I just wanted to meet him and get a picture of him.
Sure.
You know, big fan. And I'm looking at him, and I'm trying to like gauge the timing when to go in, because Randy Couture's back there and Ronda's back there.
Was this
there.
The Shogun fight? Was this when he was fighting for the title?
No, this was the night that Alan Belcher beat the shit out of Paul Harris.
Okay.
Which was sick fight.
Nice, yeah.
And so we lock eyes, and he jokingly says, "Are you sizing me up, bro?" and we started talking. He was super cool.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
And I just remember thinking, like, he would be a fun guy to go out with tonight after the show. We're near Newark. I've, you know, back in the days playing the Pipeline and in those areas, there's a lot of places you can go and get into a lot of trouble very easily. But once you're in that lifestyle, I'm not in that lifestyle anymore.
Sure.
I don't go, you know, I have a daughter who's a teenager. I don't go to clubs. I don't go to strip clubs. But once you're in it and I remember the first, like, whatever, 3-4 years of trying to be sober, you do go back every now and then just to get that taste. And maybe he just had one night where he went out and he's like, all right, I did it. Now I got to get this out of my system before I get tested. And yeah, maybe it was.
Not realizing creatine was in it.
Right.
Not realizing that was what it was cut with. Yeah, man. I mean, it could be something like, that's easier for me to swallow. The stupidity of that, doing coke, which again, you're doing coke 10 days before.
Right. Well, and I was going to say, again, totally speculative. There's some rogue
was
saying.
Yeah, we
but also,
know.
To your point,
but
I know
you know, I mean, after the shows, there's so much temptation. Like, it's hard to explain to someone I talk to people who are not in the entertainment business and
you are now.
and you know, they'll like when they come to our shows and they work a regular job, they're coming to work. Like we're working, even though it looks like there's booze backstage and we're going out to the after party. Like the average folks don't get that this temptation is 24 hours around the clock. You can get a direct message on your Instagram. Hey, I got an 8-ball. Come over. You know, like from another celeb or another.
Yeah.
And it's.
It is tempting. And so sometimes you want to say yes just because it seems like it'd be fun to do with that person.
And I was going to say, by the way, I know you were joking, but it's like, that's the thing. If it was, say, cocaine that's tainted with creatine that has turinabol in it, you can't send that to you. You can't prove that. So
what would the penalty be for doing cocaine?
Well, it's not. He didn't test positive.
No. But I'm saying I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
If it turned out that was, so it doesn't really matter how it got in his system.
Right.
If he can't say I did coke and that's why I got steroids in my system, they'll go, all right, you only did coke, fight again next week.
Yeah, no, but he'd be better. But he would, I think, I don't know, but I think he'd be better off being like, I took this cocaine.
Well, here's the thing about cocaine. You cannot test the sample
because
cocaine addicts don't save a sample.
Yeah, it's gone.
There's nothing left in the bag.
But also, like, what asshole, like, person is out there tempting him to go party. I mean, everybody should know, like, don't fucking talk to this dude. Let him fight
and
be the greatest
ever. He might have asked for it. It's John's responsibility. Again,
if
that's what he did,
right.
it was his responsibility as a guy who is
change
wants to be the champion. Yeah.
Like, it's hard. It's hard to change the number, to stay out of those situations. I've had to do it. It's extremely hard.
If that's what it is, John, it's like you're throwing your fucking life away on nothing. Like, you literally could be one of the greatest fighters in history, and people love you and want to see you win, and you had this wonderful win over Cormier. This kick to the head where Cormier was doing a lot better than he was in your first fight, and you this impressive, decisive win. You stun this fucking, this little rock figure, which is Cormier, who's never been stunned, and you find it out. Okay, Dustin, are you on the phone, buddy?
Yeah, what's going on?
Hey, buddy, you're talking, Matt Sarah's out today. You're talking to Jim Norton and Jamie Josta from Hatebreed is my co-host. How you doing?
What's up, Dustin?
Good, good.
You're fighting now. I'm going to take it that right now you are in Norfolk?
Yeah.
And what
Norfolk, Virginia.
So how far, how long in advance will you get into town before you have to fight?
It just depends how big the time change is or what's going on, but this is Eastern time, and I was in Florida, so I got in yesterday.
Oh, okay, so there's no real adjustment. When you're fighting at different altitudes, like have you fought in Mexico?
No, I haven't.
But when you're fighting at a different altitude, Denver or whatever, do you give yourself 2 weeks to get there, or does that not bother you as much?
Yeah, I would, if I was scheduled to fight something like that, I would... you know, show up early to acclimate to the altitude and stuff for sure. So I've been out on training trips in Colorado and stuff, and I've definitely felt the effects of, the altitude.
Does it help to train up at that higher altitude? I've heard mixed reviews on they said sometimes it helps to live up there more than just to train because your breathing gets more used to it. I don't know exactly what they said, but do you just go up there for quick training trips, or will you spend like long extended periods of time at different altitudes?
I've been there for short trips to help guys or just here and there, but I've never done like a whole training camp there, and I'm not even sure about the science of how long the effects. The effects definitely do help athletic performance, but I don't know how long they stick with you after you leave the altitude and stuff. So.
Now, your last fight was at 211 on May the 13th against Eddie Alvarez. In round two, it ended. It was illegal knees. Eddie did land illegal knees on you while you were a downed opponent, and it was ruled a no contest. How did you feel about the end of that fight? You handled that very, very nicely, by the way.
I appreciate it, man. But, you know, in the heat of the moment, I thought maybe it could have been an accident or a mistake. Maybe he was still hurt from the shots. I know I had him hurt pretty bad, but after watching it again and after the way he went to social media and talked shit about the whole thing, I don't think it was an accident. But in the heat of the moment, I did think.
Okay, because you showed him a lot of respect when he was getting booed and stuff. What made you say on social media that you thought maybe it wasn't an accident? What happened there?
Now he was just talking shit on social media, saying that I wanted out of the fight and all kinds of ridiculous stuff, man. But, he just showed his true colors. He doesn't want to do it again. I know that.
You think he doesn't want to fight you again?
No, he definitely doesn't. But honestly, I'd rather talk about my fight this weekend, man. I don't want to look in the rear view.
Yeah, understandable. Understandable. And how do you feel about the way Pettis has fought? He's coming off a unanimous decision win off of Jim Miller, which is not an easy fight. And he's fighting back at lightweight now. So how do you feel he looks, and how do you deal with him?
You know, he's a tough fighter, very skilled fighter with his unorthodox kickboxing and also his jiu-jitsu. He has more submissions than he has knockouts on his record, so I think a lot of people look past his jiu-jitsu. But, he submitted two guys who are very good ground fighters. And, I know personally Jim Miller's a tough guy to get past because I fought him in February of this year. So that's a good win. Jim's been around a long time, and he's a tough guy.
So what do you think of the division as a whole? I mean, there's so many interesting possible matchups. Like, let's say you win this fight. Let's say for the sake of argument, you beat Pettis. And right now you're number eight. So let's just say that moves you up, maybe number six. What do you see as a possibility? Because, everyone's talking about, well, is Conor going to fight Ferguson? You have Habib against Edson Barboza. So where do you see yourself? If, again, you don't look ahead of an opponent, but say you win this fight. And where do you see that you might match up after this?
I'm going to be right there, knocking on the door. Maybe one more fight, one more fight than the title shot.
Sure, one more. Exactly. That makes perfect sense mathematically as well. Do you have anybody in mind that you would call out? And it's like, because it does seem like in this day and age, with so many fighters and so many divisions, so many belts and interim belts, that it helps to kind of have somebody in mind, because if it gets fan interest, a lot of times the UFC will give you the matchup.
For sure. I haven't really been... I've just been focusing on Anthony Pettis right now. I don't even want to start thinking about matches that matching up with anybody after that. You know, I can't look past this guy. This guy's a former world champion.
Oh, no, no. But, you don't want to look past him. Just have a name in your pocket to scream out if you win. That's all. You don't have to look past Pez. Just have a name to yell out whether you mean it or not. Just somebody, because it does seem to help get guys get the fight. And, you know, right. You don't want to get lost in the mix.
The waters are definitely murky at lightweight with the interim belt and fights not happening. But like you said, if Conor and Tony can fight and unify the belt and also Khabib is going to fight Edson Barbosa, that's going to clear up the rankings a little bit, kind of give a better view of it. Eddie Alvarez is fighting Justin Gaethje, and I'm not asking for the fight. I'm telling you, after I beat Anthony Pettis, I'm going to fight the winner of that fight.
Okay, so you want the winner of Alvarez Gaethje. So, okay, that will, because I'm looking at the rankings right now. Of course, the champion, we don't know what Conor's doing. So the champion and number one are kind of up in limbo, but 2, 3, 4, 5 are fighting. 7 just fought, and you're number 8, and you're fighting. So, yeah, I think you're right, man. That does kind of put you right there if you win this fight. But, again, you can't look past Anthony Pettis, who seems to be comfortable back where he is now.
Right. Very dangerous fighter, very unorthodox, and with a well-rounded skill set.
And, you know, you look at you get a guy, he's a fellow ATT fighter, Colby. His controversial comments about Brazil. And how do you feel about stuff like that? Do you think that it hurts the team or helps the team and sheds light on you guys?
It definitely puts his name in the spotlight. It's helping him, I think. You know, I think the way the sport's kind of going, guys like him, Kevin Lee, are making waves and getting closer to title shots and where they want to be by stirring up stuff like that. You know, their name's in every headline. You're talking about him now. You're making me talk about him. And that's just the effect it has.
Well, yeah, it is a part of the game, too, because fighters have, like, let's be honest, what you guys do is dangerous, man, and you know, you're hurting each other. So the more fat you can cut out, quote-unquote, as far as your path to the belt, the better. So there is almost, like, a strategy to it that makes sense. It's not just background noise, because it may cut out two fights that you have to do because there's now a fan interest. And I think you're right. Kevin Lee kind of got to a championship maybe a little faster than he would have had he not been a guy who's very verbal.
For sure. I mean, you know, coming from the way the way I am and the way I feel about fighting, I'd rather stay true to myself, man, and do those extra fights than sit here and try to make up stuff or you know, write quotes to say, and that's not me, man. I'm a fighter. I'm not doing all that crap.
Well, I respect that, too. I mean, and also sometimes, though, I think, I say with respect, I think it's a little crazy, too. Like, you know, fucking cowboy. Jesus, a cowboy will fight a guy in the parking lot. Like, he just literally takes any fight. The guy loves to fight. And there's times where I think when you're going for the belt and you're taking, like, you know, you're fighting a Darren Till in Poland, which, again, it's an interesting fight, but it didn't help. It was much more bigger for Till than it was for cowboy.
Well, and people, I think people feel, you know, the same way about Dustin. And Dustin, this is Jamie here. You know, you were talking about fighting the winner of Gaethje versus Alvarez, and the narrative's already there, right? You know, you had the no contest. It sets it up perfectly. There is no real shit talk needed.
Right.
The hardcore fans want to see it. It's great, you know, and the fans that are rooting for you this weekend obviously want to see you get this win over Pettis and then see that rematch. But how, like, since this will be it'll be your third fight this year, like, how was the recovery from that? Did the knees really affect you? Were you concussed? And how are you feeling?
I feel great now. I actually live in Louisiana and train in South Florida. So we fought in Dallas, and me and my wife, the next day after the fight with Eddie, we drove home. And, you know, the day after, I had a little bit of a headache and just felt a little weird. But it didn't last long. You know, I was right back feeling good and feeling normal.
And, well, you know, it's funny. Jamie just mentioned the Alvarez Gaethje. There is a narrative there with Alvarez if he wins that fight. And with Justin, if he wins, that means he remains undefeated. I think he's 17-0. Is that what it is? And he's kind of come into the UFC a little higher ranked than one would have thought. He beats Michael Johnson on that, I guess, that fight night. Now all of a sudden he's ranked number 5 or 6, whatever he is. That's a pretty high ranking for a guy just kind of coming in. But there's already something interesting there, too, because when you fight an undefeated guy, first of all, it's got to make you want to beat him even more just to put that fucking first loss on his record. And there's always more eyes on that because an undefeated guy is fighting.
For sure. Definitely, man. And he's a big name. And he's a guy who's the opposite of what we were just talking about. He doesn't talk a lot of trash. He just people want to see him fight for the violence. They know he's going to be in a brawl, and it's going to be fun to watch. He's an exciting fighter. Those kind of fights get me excited to train and prepare for.
What do you and your wife talk about after a fight? Like, will you talk about the fight, or will you kind of go right into family stuff? Or like, right after a fight, do you want to kind of get away from the thought of it, or will you and her have a chat about it?
It just depends. We'll definitely talk about it, but in this case, it's going to be exciting. You know, I've been in Florida for 4 months with her and my daughter. It's going to be exciting to go back home to Louisiana and get ready for Thanksgiving and Christmas. You know, for the last few years, I've been fighting around those times, so I've missed it a lot, and I'm just looking forward to spending the holidays with my family.
How nice will it be to shove Thanksgiving food in your face and not have to worry about fucking cutting weight?
No, dude, it's going to be beautiful. I'm excited. I'm already starting to, like, put together a menu. I'm throwing down, man.
Please tell me there's a turducken on the menu.
I'm going to go a different route. There usually is, though. I'm sure somebody in the family is going to have turducken at the house.
Wait, what is that? I don't know.
Okay,
that.
So he's from Louisiana, and I'm in a band. I had a side band with Kirk from Crowbar. He's also in Down, who are two popular metal bands from Louisiana. And, you know, they'll do this thing where they put a turkey, a duck, and a chicken, right? And it's all wrapped turducken. Up together.
No, it's so it's a turkey stuffed with a duck, and the duck is stuffed with a chicken, yeah. And then there's stuffing inside of the chicken. It's crazy.
Is it good?
It's a poultry apocalypse.
It's incredible.
Jesus, like the human centipede.
Right, yeah.
But it tastes good.
No, it's incredible, yeah.
We're going to order you one.
I would eat one.
We'll send it to the house.
No, because I'm afraid that I'll try to. If you deep fry it or something, you can have to fucking start an explosion. I have a kitchen that's a year and a half old. I still have cardboard in it. I've never cooked in my house.
No, you just bake it in the oven.
Okay, I can handle that. Hey, were you in Florida for the hurricane? Did you get affected at all?
I was in there. I was in Florida for the hurricane, but I left with my family for a week. So it was kind of a break in training camp because it was much needed because I originally thought I was fighting October 7th, so I went out there to Florida to start training camp really early. Then my fight got changed, and we agreed on November 11th. So it ended up being a 13-week training camp, so I needed that 1 week off. And, I didn't really take it off. I went home and trained with my buddies back in Louisiana, but it was a nice week to get out of Florida.
Now, did your house get messed up or anything or no?
No, I my house is in Louisiana.
Oh, where were you staying? In a hotel there? Or you staying with
I was staying at the Airbnb. It got a little bit of water in it, but no major damage.
Wait, Dustin Poirier stays in an Airbnb? They terrify me to use. I'm always freaked out being in it. I've never done Airbnb.
Oh, you got to do it.
No, I don't. I'm afraid there'll be bed bugs or something.
I just went to one in LA, and it's like a third of the price of the hotel that I was staying at, and it's huge and amazing.
I'm in one now in Virginia.
So you do Airbnb. Now, would you ever let somebody stay in your house in an Airbnb?
Hell
I would.
He said, hell no. Is it weird being in someone's space like that? I've never done it.
A lot of these places are like investment properties. I don't think, like the place I'm at right now, nobody lives here.
They're staged, right?
Yeah.
So do they change the sheets and stuff?
Yeah, they do between course, they do man. Between everything, yeah.
I don't know.
It's just like going into a hotel, but it's like an apartment or a house or a condo, you know? It's clean. A cleaning crew comes in and changes everything. But it's nice, especially on fight trips.
Oh, okay. And now, when you're on the road,
you don't want on a fight trip with coaches and sweaty underwear and jockstraps hanging around a room, and you got three or four coaches in a two-bedroom hotel room. It gets nasty.
Yeah, and you can do all your cooking and your nutrition stuff.
That's a good point.
For sure.
Do you
now washer and dryer?
Do you stay with your coaches, or is it just you in the place, you and your wife?
No, it's me and my coaches.
Oh, you're all in that place together. So you rent a house.
Yeah, for sure.
I didn't think they did. That's how stupid I am. I'm thinking some old lady just went outside and she's sitting in the car for 2 days. I didn't realize it would be an investment property. Okay, that makes sense. They buy it and they just, you know, make their money on Airbnb.
Like if you go do comedy dates and you're doing 3-4 nights at some place, and like in LA, this one I just stayed at for the Loudwire Wars, it was $800 a night because of the World Series. The guy from Slipknot, Clown, he got an Airbnb, $240 a night. It was huge, huge, beautiful house in the Hollywood Hills. And he's cooking, he's got his family there. So you're getting like 10 times the space for a third of the price.
That's a good point. But Dustin, I don't know about you, but I've become a real diva. I like a gentleman's accommodations on the road. I can't do it. But then again, I'm just me.
You got like room service and
concierge. But he's got coaches with him and his wife. And you have kids, Dustin?
Yeah, I have a daughter, but she doesn't come to fight trips yet. She's still young.
How old is she?
She's 14 months.
Oh, God, she's really young. Now, when you the night before a fight, let's just say your daughter is with you, will you stay in the same, like, hotel room with her? Or because you need your sleep, will you get a separate room so if she cries, you're not going to wake up and lose your fight sleep?
No, man, I just told you. She doesn't come with me to fight, Joe.
Oh, she has never come. Okay, I thought maybe there had been one. Okay.
No.
All right, well, that was a stupid question then. My follow-up, I fair enough, I'll admit it. I did hear you say that, but I'm like, maybe once she has been on the road. All right, let me ask this.
Right, no, no.
All right, here's a great question. When she eventually does come, will you be getting an extra room?
No, by the time she's old enough to come to fight trips, to know what's going on, she'll be with me.
Oh, she'll be with you. Okay.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, listen, man, I love watching you fight. You're one of the most exciting guys in the UFC. And Dustin is fighting Anthony Pettis, the main event, of course. UFC Fight Night in Norfolk this Saturday, November 11th at 10 o'clock on FS1, man. Good luck. There's a lot of implications in this fight on future matchups. So good luck. Because I got to be honest, I love Pettis as well. But I really would love to see you and Eddie finish that fight. So that's something I'm kind of would love
we
to
have
see.
We have to.
I agree. So good luck, man. Have a great fight, okay?
Thanks, man. Good talking to you.
All right. Take care, Dustin.
All right.
Yeah, that's a good point. Him and when does Eddie fight Justin Gaethje?
December 2nd. That's 218.
Dustin doesn't need the theatrics, but come on. Don't you think if he like burned a Wheaties box with Pettis on it or something, like it would have just upped the ratings for the...
Yeah, just do something.
Just stomp on the Wheaties box and like, or fill it with like Fruity Pebbles or something. And you know, I don't know.
No, yeah. I like your heads up. That makes sense.
Well, it's a wrestling. That was a wrestling gimmick, right? Like when The Rock did that to Cena.
Oh, is that right? I don't know.
Something about Fruity Pebbles, and then the whole audience chanted that. But he's right. He doesn't need that sort of theatrics. People want to see him fight regardless. I forgot to jump in there and ask about Colby Covington.
I'll answer it.
Do you think that that's just like the wrestling stuff? And behind the scenes, he's telling all the Brazilian guys, look, don't take offense to this, you know, because he's got to be training with 50, 60. No?
Because Lyoto Machida was in his face about it, screaming at him.
Really?
They said he got in his face before his own fights. Yeah, it was not happening.
Yeah, if he was going to do it, he didn't do it fast enough because a lot of Brazilians are really mad about it.
Yeah, you can't just say, like, I get being like a little, I get talking shit. And Chael Sonnen did it a certain way. But you can't say you Brazilians are filthy dogs.
Right.
Like,
is that what he said?
Yeah, dogs.
He got on the mic and he goes, Brazil, you're a dump. All you people are filthy animals or whatever. Like, he went right in.
Unless you're responding to horrible treatment. Maybe he was responding to horrible treatment. I don't know. Let me shake my bag of almonds. That helps me think.
You're so healthy.
That's a heavy bag of almonds. I wish my scrotum was that heavy. So what else do we got news-wise? Now, is Uzdemir going to fight Volkan Uzdemir? Is he undefeated or no against Cormier? That's a possibility. What is his record, Uzdemir?
I'm going to look it up.
You should know that off the top of your head.
Sorry. He's undefeated in the UFC so far.
Yes.
But he's not undefeated overall.
Yeah.
But
who did he just knock out quickly?
Jimmy Manoa.
That's right. Yeah. Well, he is a fucking hard-hitting young
fellow. He's 15-1, actually.
Who did he lose to?
One loss. He has a loss to Kelly Anundsen in a Bellator fight.
What year is that?
2014.
Okay, so he lost a couple of years ago.
It's a neck crank submission.
Okay.
Why is this fight happening and not... is there another fight booked for Alex?
It's talked about.
Yeah, well, yeah, not official. Right, I mean, Cormier like put something out on Twitter a while ago and was asking the fans, who would you rather see me fight? And he said, you know, hey, Volkan, you won, man. Like,
really?
That's who people want to fight.
But aside, light heavyweight rankings?
I mean, he's such a beast. And besides, like, the street cred, you know, with the hardcore fans, which he already has, what does he really gain out of this?
Well, Uzdemir,
Cormier, you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, this is a dangerous
fight. He's ranked number two.
Yeah, but he's unknown, right? Like, as far aside from the hardcore fans that know him from whatever promotion he was in prior to the UFC.
Cormier has to, literally after that Jones fight, and they just gave him the belt back, people are going, like, he still had that Jones monkey on his back, the idea of not being able to beat John Jones.
Right.
So maybe he wants to fight
super
a guy.
Tough,
yeah, man, maybe he wants to fight killer. A guy. Because everyone's got that one fighter who just becomes that thing that they carry with them, that they can't beat.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe most people have that thing. For him, it's John Jones. So he's already fought Gustafsson. I think he did a better job against Gustafsson than Jones did. He had an easier time with him than Jones did. Not easy.
Yeah, no, and Gustafsson's given them both their toughest fights pretty much.
Oh, you think? So, all right, then I'm incorrect.
Yeah. No, but I think you're right. I think
was
Cormier,
it a decision that he beat him on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Actually, it was Rumble Johnson that destroyed Gustafson. It was Rumble Johnson.
Now that I'm looking at this top 10, too, yeah, really, there's nobody that I think really pairs up with him well that would even be competitive.
He's number two. I mean,
he's beat everybody. Right?
I don't want to see Glover to the Sheriff fight for the title or Jimmy Manuel just lost. Yeah.
Did I'm surprised that Patrick Cummins is number 10. I mean, I like him as a fighter, sure. I think he's great. But I didn't know that division is really not that deep as far as.
Right. Well, he was actually
on his level.
He was supposed to fight Corey Anderson this past weekend, but then he had some kind of staph infection. He was out, and then OSP jumped in and then
put a left foot in this. The light heavyweight division
is
not as exciting as it could be.
I got texts from like 10 different people that just wrote dead at the same time.
Dude, that was
on
amazing.
My phone. It was crazy. But what I would like to see DC go to heavyweight though at this point, because
does he want to do it though?
Well, I mean, there's bigger name fights. There's, I mean, any of these guys on the heavyweight roster from three down, those are, now 3 to 12, those are all fascinating fights for him.
You're the champion. You're the champion. Do you want to deal with fucking Fabricio Verdum? Or do you want to deal or Velasquez, who he probably wouldn't fight because
he'll never
so
fight
close.
Kane, yeah.
Right, but he can get revenge for anybody that, you know, Kane's fought and lost to, right? Because who's Kane lost to in there?
JDS. Where's JDS?
Verdum and Junior's not in because he's potentially being suspended by
USADA.
That's why his Ngannou fight. I don't know, man. If I'm Cormier, I don't want to do that at this stage, unless he's having a problem cutting weight. But the light heavyweight division, especially without Jones, is not. And Anthony Johnson just left, so it's not as exciting as it was at one point. You know, without John Jones, especially. So I would love to see Uzdemir fight him.
Even with that OSP win on short notice and in that fashion, I mean, he was losing decisively, right? Those first two rounds.
Yes, he was.
Before he came back. So it's not like you can say, put OSP in there with DC. OSP needs to now fight maybe, I guess, I don't know, Glover or... Who's
what about Gustafson? I mean, Gustafson is there.
Yeah, so he doesn't have a fight book.
Against OSP?
Yeah, why not?
Who did Glover fight last time and
he won?
He
fought, Gustafson was the last fight, I believe.
For Teixeira?
Yeah.
Oh, and then he lost badly in that.
Yeah,
right?
I know he just lost badly.
Okay. That division is not, there's not as much parity there, I guess.
That's like my least favorite division right now, where at one point it was my favorite division. You know what I mean? It's the way it is. I mean,
there's some great fights to be had. John Volante versus OSP would be sick.
Yeah, sure.
There's a lot of good fights in there. Nogueira.
Pedro's young.
Yeah.
He's a young fighter. How many fights does Tyson Pedro have? It's not many.
I think he's like 6-1 or something when we just. Lost his first fight.
He did just lose his first fight. Okay. And who did he lose to?
Ilir Latifi.
Right. How did he lose? I don't remember.
I think it was just the decision. I can look it up, but I think it was just a decision, yeah.
Called out Latifi on this last card? Someone did, right?
Wait.
And I thought, that's smart because he's in the top 10.
Hold on. Who fought? No, hold on. Let me just guess.
Ignore the ruffling of the pages.
Yeah, no. I'm being honest. I'm going to guess. Who just called out Latifi?
Somebody did, and it was like...
Was it OSP?
Was it? I think it was.
Light heavyweight. He's the only light heavyweight that fought, I think, right?
Right.
Yeah, so that's a fun fight.
Hey, I'm going to pee real quick. Let's take a quick break. We'll come right back. Yep.
Britney Spears was arguably the most popular musician for nearly a decade. But in 2008, she suffered what the media dubbed a meltdown. The perfect girl was finally breaking down. This was a year that will define her public profile.
Everybody, Dwayne Johnson here to tell you about a new documentary podcast series titled What Really Happened, narrated by award-winning documentary filmmaker Andrew Jenks in coordination with our company, 7 Bucks Productions. This series will look deep into the unknown sides of historic news stories and then ask, what really happened?
In February 2008, Britney Spears lost legal control of her life, and now, 10 years later, she is still managed, some would say controlled, by a conservatorship, a legal concept normally applied to those with serious mental illnesses or senior citizens. But what really happened to Britney 10 years ago? What role do men have in all of this? What does a conservatorship really mean? In this story, it's hard to define what real even is, but we'll try, because we want to know what really happened.
And we're going to try to get Matt Brown on the phone. Dustin Poirier was really fun to talk to. There's some pretty good fights coming up here on this fight night Poirier versus Pettis. Cesar Ferreira, is that how you say his name? Cesar Ferreira?
Fajeda.
I could not. How do you know every name? He makes me sick. He knows every name, Jamie. It drives me nuts against Nate Marquardt. And of course, the Sunsau is fighting again. He's fighting Matthew Lopez. Joe Lozano versus Clay Guida is a great first fight.
Great fight.
That is a great first fight.
Fan favorite.
And Sanchez against Matt Brown. And we're going to talk to. Could you close that, Jamie? I'm sorry, buddy. We're going to talk to Matt shortly. That is just two legendary brawlers. That's a tremendous fight. John Dodson is fighting Marlon Moraes. Am I saying that right? Finally! Dodson is the FS1 prelim main event, which will get people to go into the other fight, you'd hope. Sage Northcutt is fighting Michael Quiñones. Sage is fighting again. So there's a lot of really, really interesting fights. Court McGee, I'm happy to see Court. He's fighting Sean Strickland on the Fight Pass prelims, and I believe we have Matt Brown on the phone. Hello, Matt.
How you doing, man?
Good, buddy. Matt Serra is out today. He's with his family at Disney doing, just goofing off. So you have myself and Jamie Josta, who I believe you know.
Yes. What's up?
A badass.
How are you?
Very good. Very good.
Now, how did you guys...
Let's be better.
How did you guys meet, by the way? Can I ask you that, Matt? How did you guys meet?
Yeah, it was a mutual friend.
Jeremy Loper,
yeah. Put us in touch and...
Shout out to
happen,
Jeremy.
Man.
Jeremy Loper, the radio guy.
Yeah.
Oh, from Florida. Yeah, yeah. Oh, he's a... Yeah. We had radio fights with him, and then we became friends. And then all of a sudden, I met him years later. I'm like, oh, boy, I'm fucking glad I'm friends with this guy. He's a savage. Wow, am I glad I never challenged him to anything. He's like an MMA guy, right?
Yeah, he's solid.
Oh, he'd throw me through a wall. All right. So, how are you feeling, Matt? This Diego Sanchez fight is a tremendously interesting matchup, definitely for the fans. What are you doing to get ready for a guy like Diego Sanchez? He's just like two classic brawlers.
I feel amazing, man. This is the best I've felt in a long time. I've really been putting everything together, I think, from all my years of experience. And, man, I feel like I could go out there and beat anybody on Saturday. So I don't care what Diego's doing, whether he wants to brawl or whatever. It's all irrelevant to me, man. When I'm at the level that I'm at right now, mentally and physically, I'm unbeatable, and that's a fact. And I'm gonna go show that Saturday.
Now, are you concerned are you concerned with his ground game at all? I mean, I know you're also very, very solid on the ground, but are you concerned that he's gonna try to keep you on the ground or no?
Diego needs to concern himself more with me than I do with him. So that's, I'm concerned about his life more than I am about his ground game.
Okay, and why is this your last fight? I mean, I know 36 is not exactly extremely young, but, GSP just comes back at 36. What is it that made this be your last fight?
Well, I'll tell you, my original thought process with the retirement was more about not having the right hunger and right motivation. But throughout this camp, I've taken some time off, and throughout this camp I've really – brought a lot of clarity and purpose into my training and into my into this fight, and I feel better than I have in a long, long time. And I'm healthy and training smarter and got the right people around me. And so we'll decide after the fight whether this is going to be the last one or not. But the way I feel right now, I could go do this 100 more times. And again, I just feel unbeatable, and I haven't felt this way in a long time, and I'm really happy and in a good place. And when you feel like that, man, it doesn't even matter what happens on Saturday, man. Everything is all the right pieces are together for me, and that's what's really important.
Now, Matt, does that take a little bit of the pressure off, saying, hey, this might be my last fight? Like, hey, whatever happens, it could be my last fight. So it may be a little bit less pressure because you don't see necessarily a whole bunch of future fight implications. It's almost like if you walk up to a Playboy bunny and hit on her, you're like, she's so far out of my league, whatever, I'll just do it. And you might actually do better than you think because you're not pressuring yourself with the possible implications after.
I don't know about that analogy.
Terrible analogy. I suck at analogies.
Matt, you gotta send Jim one of those fucking wheel. But can I swear on this?
Yes.
Wheelbarrows with the weights on it. Like, Jim is losing weight. You look good. You're in shape. Like, what's going on? You're eating almonds.
I know.
I think for every pound you've lost, I've gained one. So, but what are those? Are you selling those things now that I always see you using?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, I got two, actually three different things, and about 20 different prototypes for equipment that I'm building. The wheelbarrows are one. If you want to get strong like a farmer, you know, that's sort of the original design of equipment that we're making. And then the hammers also, man, those are just monster, just beastly workout, man.
You put the two together. I got to send it to Jim. It's crazy.
What do you hammer, Matt? What do you hammer with the hammer?
Tires and
tires.
Now, have you ever had one bounce back and hit you? That always scared me with the tire. Besides the fact the hammer looks heavy, did you ever like hit a tire and have it bounce back and hurt you?
No, and that's, you know, some people do shy away from it due to the possibility of injury. But you know, honestly, you got to be pretty dumb for that to actually happen. You don't go out and hit a trampoline with it. You know what I mean? Like you're hitting a tire, then it's pretty heavy. So. We have different weights for the hammers, so you get what matches your specific weight. A lot of people use your specific strength. A lot of people use the Home Depot hammers or regular sledgehammers, and that was kind of the initial thought process behind that invention. Was let's improve on this. Let's make it specifically for working out, and that's what we've done with that. The wheelbarrows, we've used those for years and years. Westside Barbell, where I train, they've used that for years and years, but they never actually manufactured it. So all I did was take things that were existing and just made them better. And everybody's loving them, man. Everybody's buying them. We just came out with a certification for the sledgehammer, so people can actually get certified to how to use it in a lot of different ways. And I have a lot more. Prototypes made too for more equipment that's really going to blow people's minds. They just haven't had the time and energy to put it out.
Now this is your 12th year of fighting. I think you've been knocked out. Is it twice? Am I incorrect with that? Which is not bad for 12 years. That's pretty fucking amazing.
You're incorrect. Once.
Oh, it is once. Oh, well, it looks like our producer put the wrong information down. Chris, comment.
I've been TKO'd.
Oh yeah. Well,
Yeah.
I put TKO/KO.
Oh, so okay. You know what? I am an idiot.
The TKO was garbage, though. I wasn't out.
What is something someone can do that's proactive to prevent the effects of that?
The number one thing that I think helped me more than anything else was the ketogenic diet, and that's the number one thing. Getting the proper rest and recovery, taking the right supplements.
How bad is your breath on that keto diet, though? I did it. And I was like,
he knows about the keto breath, huh?
But it was, you're right. Like you.
What is the keto diet?
It's all high fats, like high and healthy fats, right? And pretty much no sugar.
Why does that give you a weird breath?
Because your body's burning the fat, right? And so your stomach, I think your stomach contents is. How would you describe the breath? It's almost like, I mean, my breath is kicking right now from this coffee, but it's almost like ammonia or something, right? Like, how would you describe it, Matt?
No, how do you describe it? Like, it's like putrid, man.
Yeah.
It's like toxic sewage. Like,
but your brain fires so quickly. Everything is, it's so, like, I suffer from, like, extreme, like, brain fog. Like, I'll listen to old podcasts where I've done where I knew that day I was just in a fog, lack of sleep or a shitty diet or late, you know, staying out late the night before. When you're on the keto diet, I mean, you're just right on the money. Like, I was going to ask you if you were on the keto because you were firing, like, rapid fire earlier. Like, I'm like, I need to get on Jim's level because he was, you know, there was no ums, ands, you knows. It was like,
You don't want to know what my diet consists of. It's ugly. It's ugly, and it makes me question everything.
Have you done the keto diet, Jamie?
Yeah, and it was amazing. And I feel like the best podcast episodes I ever did was for like the 2-3 weeks that I was on the keto diet. I just couldn't keep it up on the road. But now there's like products, I guess you can have sent to you, like to the venues or to your house.
Do you put weight on with it or no?
I lost a little bit of weight actually, which was cool, but I was eating like the craziest shit. I had these cans of oysters and like fatty salmon. Like you can get canned salmon. Ugh. And
fucking awful.
What else? I mean, a lot of avocados, a lot of coconut oil. Like I would take spoonfuls of coconut oil.
Yeah, exactly. When you talk about the the weight loss gym, and that's about calories in, calories out, no matter what you're eating, right? Yeah. But the entire point of the keto diet is that the weight, you may not lose weight if you're eating too many calories, but you'll be burning fat. It teaches your body, it's what they call fat adapted. It teaches your body to use fat as energy rather than carbohydrate. And carbohydrate is not actually a necessary nutrient for life. So you don't actually have to have any carbohydrates from the day you're born until the day you die. You could go without. So
you got to see this show, Life Below Zero. This guy eats a fucking eyeball of a moose, and behind the eyeball of the moose is like just this hunk of fat, like a half pound hunk of fat, and he just eats it raw. No parasites, no problem. And there's no carbs in the middle of nowhere in Alaska. It's you can't eat that much protein because then you get sick from
can't
too much
cook
protein.
It?
Well, I mean, he was having like moose sashimi. It was off the hook, but like that guy's probably in ketosis, right, Matt?
Yeah, they say that a lot of the Alaskan Eskimos or whatever, some of the indigenous people and people that live like that still are most likely in ketosis. They say to be totally metabolically flexible, your body should be able to go into ketosis overnight.
What's that mean?
Like going into ketosis is when you're using fat for energy. Your body is converting adipose tissue into ketones for energy rather than relying on glucose, which is basically it's not as good of an energy source other than the one downfall for it, since it's an MMA show, is for high performance. When you start getting into anaerobic state and basically when you're tapping into like the phosphagen system, this is when you start having issues with ketosis. If you're a 100-meter sprinter or a 400-meter sprinter, like this would be a problem. But there's ways around that too. There's a lot of different. I mean, it goes pretty deep. That's why they have books about it. So, there's so much you can read about it. But number one, the mental clarity is off the chain. The just feeling less fog and just waking up. And what happens when you're eating sugar all the time? Is you go on this roller coaster, your blood sugar goes up. This is why you get tired of Thanksgiving, right? Your blood sugar goes up, and then you get hungry when it drops back down. And, you just end up on this roller coaster up and down all day. And what the keto diet does, it neutralizes your blood sugar. So you're at a steady state all the time, and you have steady energy. A lot of ultramarathoners are using it, and for the long energy. Again, I could go on all day about it.
No, but it's interesting. It also explains why Eskimos are rubbing noses, probably because they're fucking eating moose eyes. Like, you want to kiss somebody with moose eye breath?
They eat so much frozen food that they dip it in seal oil, like seal fat that's been rendered down into oil.
How delightful.
And then that seal oil goes into their bodies and keeps them warm in turn. It's pretty fascinating. But I would imagine
move somewhere fucking warmer.
But then
stop it.
You're gonna have the worst tasting jizz ever.
You're actually motivating me to eat it, because that's one I like, the punishment element. Here you go, naughty girl.
Sorry, Matt. You knew I had to take it there with Jim here. So.
Well, Matt knows him. He's a guy. So, Matt, do you have any post retirement plans? I mean, let's just say, for the sake of argument, you decide win, lose, or draw that you do want to step away. What are your plans?
That I guess that's part of what makes the thought of retirement so exciting, is that I don't have a plan, man. I never gave myself a plan B. I never thought about doing anything else in my life. So I'm really nervous and scared about the thought of retirement. So that's kind of what drives me towards it a little bit. I know for certain a few things. I know, like, I want to have a gym or, be a coach in some manner. I definitely want to, I've thought about possibly like being like a firefighter, some sort of public service, man. I want to give back and help others, and not just for the past 10 years, I've just been a sponge and just soaking in and taking from everyone. And I'm ready to give back and more fashions than even just the martial arts. So other ways would be cool too.
What about coaching, Matt? Like, and tell us how you felt about about the outcome of the TJ Cody fight. Cause you kind of had a dog in the fight, right?
Yeah, I kind of had two dogs in the fight. I've known Cody since before the UFC, but since we're both from Ohio. And TJ, I'm closer with him, I guess, in the nowadays, though. So I kind of had two dogs in that fight, to be honest, but I was more rooting for TJ just because of the way he handles himself and because I am closer with him nowadays and stay in touch with him a lot. And he invited me on the show, and Cody didn't, so I got to go with him. So, definitely coaching, man, that's definitely something I think I'll excel at. I think it's something I'm naturally very good at, and I have a lot to offer. So that's definitely something I want to do. Again, it's how I go about doing it is kind of the big question, and how I make it a monetarily sustainable thing is a hard part for, I guess, all fighters, right? Like, I don't know how I'm going to sustain financially for a long time.
Well, definitely don't do like a seal oil mail order or anything like
that. Yeah, exactly. A baggie of seal oil, maybe signed by Matt. A terrible gift idea. Well, Matt, look, dude, you're a legend in the sport. You really are. You're one of those legendary guys, and guys like you and Diego, you're a throwback to years ago, and people really, really are excited about this fight. You're the co-main of UFC Fight Night in Norfolk this Saturday, and hey, look, man, whatever you do afterwards, whether you go 20-17 or 21-16 and you decide to retire, you decide to keep fighting, you're a very loved guy, and you've given every ounce of yourself to the sport. So the fans really appreciate you, man. And good luck this weekend. And I hope most of all you stay healthy. You're a good dude.
Yeah, I wish I could be there, man, and good luck. And hopefully Dana will let you come out to the song. Does that remain to be unseen yet or what?
I always think a lot about, cause I'm a big music guy. So I always think a lot about it, but we'll see. I mean, I'm sure he'll let me if I want to.
You know that he, the last time, I guess it wasn't on the televised part, but it was on the, the streaming, like it was streaming, and Rogan had said something like, you know, he's so crazy because of this music he listens to. And my Twitter went crazy. Like, did you hear? It was kind of like a veiled comment.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a compliment.
Yeah, yeah.
But then afterwards, Dana goes, oh, yeah, I let Matt come out to his death metal. I mean, it's not really death metal. It's just like there's actual sung vocals in the song.
They don't know.
I know. But it's like, you know, give us metal guys a little more props. It doesn't
I know,
hurt.
I know. It's so funny, man, people's perceptions of metal. But, like, even, you know, people will go out and watch a movie like Saw, and then they'll be like, oh, Cannibal Corpse is the worst band in the world or something. And it's like, dude, you just watch this shit. Like, you could listen to it, too.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure. But, and, yeah. And this weekend, Clay Guida's fighting, and he's come out to, like, Pantera. And, they're, you know, that's not that different from the song I did for Matt. But anyways, I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Yes.
And shout out to Dana for letting you come out to the last time. I know he's very involved in the walkout music.
And if that doesn't work, look, Wind Beneath My Wings is a delightful song, Matt. And you could walk out to that. That would get everybody going. But listen,
I mean,
man.
Think about Fleetwood Mac, maybe.
Fleetwood Mac? Oh, yeah. A little rumors or something about that album. Maybe you talk about Stevie Nicks getting coke blown up her ass, which she denied. All right, look, Matt, we enjoy you very much. Have a great fight, man, and we'll talk to you after win, lose, or draw, okay?
All right, thanks, fellas.
Thank you, buddy.
Good luck,
have
brother.
A good fight.
Thanks.
And
by the way, that's not true about Stevie Nicks.
I've heard. I asked Mick Fleetwood. He said it wasn't.
Really? Because yeah. I met her, someone like her nephew or someone. I want to say.
What's the nephew going to say? Yeah, my aunt gets coke off her asshole. Of course, the nephew's a bad source. Hey, by the way, you talked to Robert Reed's nephew 5 years before he died. No, he likes women.
You probably believe the Richard Gere thing is true too.
Believe it. I fucking bought him the animal. I am. You know. And by the way, the fact that I just said win, lose, or draw, I should have been fucking smashed in my mouth. Fucking asshole.
What's a
sports radio hack. Win, lose, or draw. All right, listen. Jamie, thank you very much.
Jim,
Matt,
great
Sarah,
seeing you, man.
We'll see you soon. And
shout out to Matt.
See you soon. And don't forget to watch.
I was hoping we were going to call Matt.
We just had, you know, we had too many. We had Matt on Monday.
Can I plug some stuff?
Yeah. Oh, please do. Yes.
I have a live podcast in St. Louis with comedian Don Jameson and former Killswitch Engage singer Howard Jones. That's at the Blueberry Hill Duck Room on December 23rd. We're doing two shows.
Awesome.
Get your tickets at blueberryhillduckroom.com. And then I have a podcast on gasdigitalnetwork.com. If you want to subscribe, make sure you use the code JOSTA. And then hatebreedvip.com. We're going on tour November 22nd to December 9th.
Awesome. And I will be at Town Hall this Saturday night at 9:45. I also have dates in London, Manchester, Dublin, Philadelphia, San Francisco, Sacramento. I got a bunch of places. Indianapolis, Peoria, Illinois. So if you want to see me, Go to JimNorton.com for tickets to this Saturday town hall. And
how are you going
to
watch the fights?
I always watch them on, I just go home and watch them on.
So do you
paper.
Like the fight pass while you're backstage waiting to go
all
on?
All the time, brother. And nice. And by the Chip Chipperson podcast you can get, it is a hit. So thank you, Jamie. It was fun seeing you, man.
You too, brother. Thank you.
Matt, we'll talk to you soon. Goodbye.
Live life at your pace. Click the banner or go to visitwilliamsburg.com to discover how. Because here in Williamsburg, life moves at one pace, yours. Visit a live archaeological dig site on the very grounds where America began. Or walk the fields where our country was won. Live like a colonial by day or track 18th century ghosts by night. For all the history to be found here, there's plenty more to make for yourself. It's all waiting for you in Williamsburg. Book your trip today and live life at your pace.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.